People that were basically Now we don't call in contrast to these Mosaic covenant ministers. There's a minister of the new covenant gospel. And this chapter calls to claim with confidence the superiority of his ministry over Moses. His confidence rests both in God's revelation directly to him and in God's revelation through his word. But I'll call to recall what Jeremiah says in chapter 3:1. I was about to say, Lord, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make you covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This one will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors to make covenant by the land, to bring them out of my own nation, their covenant will grow, though I have married them. Instead, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel out of what it is. I will put my teaching within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. This confidence can clearly be summed up in verse 6 of this chapter of the Romans. Paul says, he has made us competent to be ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit is. So I want to make a note before we move ahead tonight. My goal tonight isn't for you guys to learn a little bit about the Christian church. It's not even for us to learn the particulars of Paul's ministry. If that was it, I'll have a way to live. The purpose tonight is for us to hear into the significance of the covenant God has made through Christ with man as it applies to the church before the first century and as it applies to us today and Newcastle. So, if you guys want to look at your Bible, we'll begin with verses 7 to 11. So what's happening here, Paul is using a well-known Hebrew structure of argumentation to make up these verses. From these arguments from lesser to greater. And I'm reading this and I can't help but think it's Paul's way of saying, listen, I'm a Hebrew too. You're listening to all these Judaizers, presumably because of their religion, because of their race. I'm a Hebrew too. I'm going to argue as a Hebrew against them. And to give an example of this lesser grade argumentation, turn your Bibles to number 7, verse 11. So Jesus says, if you then, although you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? So the lesser is the good gifts of the people of the Father, and the greater is the good gifts of God. The principle is that what applies in the case of the lesser will apply that much more in the case of the greater. Now, Paul has been making a valid argument in order to feed the Judaizers. He's been contrasting the very mystery of life and death. The stakes are high, as John Calvin promised, but as the law of his man to himself, it condemns him of necessity to death. But the gospel bringing him to Christ opens the gate of life. And that is what was behind Paul's life. Look at verses 7 to 8. The ministry of death versus the ministry of the Spirit. Paul says, now with the ministry of death chiseled in letters on the stones came with glory, so that the Israelites were not able to look directly at Moses' face because of the glory of his face. Glory, how would the mission of the Spirit not be more glorious? So the lesser is the glory of the ministry of death written on the scroll. And the greater is the glory of the ministry of the Spirit written on the hearts. Now, if we read the account in Exodus 32:34, we see that on Moses' initial ascent to the mountain, he was prompted by God, he actually smashed the law on the ground. We read that in Exodus 32. The people of God literally broke the law, and there was great consequence. God sent Moses down. This is God sent Moses. He said, leave me alone, so my anger can burn against them, and I can destroy them. We didn't last a second. Humanity did not last a second. As the law was being written, it was already being broken. What a striking symbolism for Moses to shatter the law at the base of the mountain. God's anger burned against the destroyed, and that is the ministry of death. This is Paul's first point. There's glory in the ministry of death. What is it? there's no denying God's glories. But this is Paul's answer to that. The second point, the ministry that he is now serving is even more glorious than that now. It's even more glorious than that prayer. It's even more glorious than Moses' shining face. It's more glorious because we are Christ's Lord. And instead of stone tablets displayed under God, his Christ, his glory, Paul says in the following, I'll slay it now by the Christ. Instead of death, it's the ministry of God. The prophet Ezekiel, as God spoke to the prophet Ezekiel, I will give you your heart according to the spirit of you. I will give you your heart according to your heart. So we have letters on stone versus letters on living hearts. God passing in front of Moses as he draws with the people of the Lord Testament text Exodus. I compare to God living in us, death versus the spirit. The second section we have here, verses 9 and 10, is the ministry of condemnation versus the ministry of righteousness. Paul says, for if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness overflows with even more glory. In fact, what had been glorious is not glorious now by guilt, because of the glory that is surpassing. So, the last year is the glory of the ministry of condemnation. The greater is the glory of the ministry of righteousness. What a name for the law that is the ministry of condemnation. I'm assuming that you guys, Christians, you understand what that means. We assume that the law was the ministry of death, or the law was the ministry of condemnation. We already read it today. Paul said the letter kills. The writing of God's law was the legal case against us. There was glory because it showed unequivocally the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. This is God way up here, and this is man way down here. Where God speaks, man is in the middle. As Paul writes in Romans, when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. The commandment that was meant for life resulted in death for me. For sin sees the opportunity through the commandment to see me and through a killing. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and God's condemnation. That's the glory of the ministry of condemnation, is the holiness of God. It's the holiness that Moses had that highest place for when he was on the world in the presence of God. There's glory in that. Our faith will face the glory of God is death. There's nothing else. God says to Moses in the account, no one can see me in the dead, he says in Exodus 33. No one can look upon that lofty law of God and live. Now Paul says, enter the ministry of righteousness. We can rightly call two ministries, the ministry of the one is the ministry of the Bible, which we as men can fulfill, and the other is the ministry of fulfillment, which Christ perfectly performed. This is the new covenant. It's all about Christ's perfect fulfillment of the holy requirements of God. So this is Paul's man on the cross against the Judaizers. Every stipulation they were created for the Gentiles. Paul says, no, compared to what Christ has done, there's no glory left in him. There's no glory left because the glory of Christ surpasses him. Why? Because Christ simultaneously is all of our holiness, and he is all of our power. Christ is the true law, and he is the perfect fulfillment of the Lord. As was one of the verses say, Romans 8, 1 through 4, Paul writes, therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Now this time takes on you. Paul is no longer arguing with them. He's no longer using his argument to prove the glory of the angels. Paul is now no longer looking at what it is, he's now saying, what does it do? What does this new covenant do? So we look, we continue in verses 12 to 16. He says, therefore, have such bold leaders, great boldness. We're not like Moses needs to put a veil in his face so that Israelites may not stare at the anthill of the there. Their minds were closed. It's this day of the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains. It is not lifted because it says, I will be. Even to this day, whenever Moses will have a veil lies over their hearts. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, he goes to the Lord. And now we see it. What we are doing is the veil greater than him. Paul sums up all of the above in one word. The hope that is in that the Christ and fear of God's heart, not by your merit, not by our merit, but his. May this is Paul's greater than by me to this part of the above. Because of this, we come to see you great boldness. This word means that boldness in terms of speech, boldness in terms of proclamation. So Paul is really saying, because of this, we come to be have great boldness to speak and to proclaim the glory of God. So in an old covenant, the glory was vague, it was temporary. Even though Paul's already suffered so much for the gospel, even though the Christians have already criticized him, they say, Paul, you're weak in stature and you're weak in speech. Paul's proclamation of the truth of Christ is bold. Because he boasts of the Lord, not himself, sorry, but of the Lord. And that is the part of the truth. You have it, and you can, you have to stop and you sharing. You have to be at all. Paul goes on, he says, this day the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains. If you grasp the story of what Paul is saying, there was a veil before, there was an Old Covenant that had to be approved. And now the new covenant has come. Now this new glory has been revealed. Even still, there is a veil over the hearts of men. He is filled with the ears of the law. They don't realize it. They would see the glorious fulfillment of the law in the Who knew this better than Paul? You've all heard his conversion story. Paul was still breathing murderous threats against the Christians on his way to Damascus. The Bible says he's going there, he's going to go round up, he's on the way to persecute the city. And how is that God going to be killed? Because the Lord is the teacher of the law that goes to Damascus to grab the with the light so bright and blinded that God sent the man and Ananias to go and speak to Paul, the Spirit of God is going on filled. The Bible says the scales fell off his eyes and he was filled with the Spirit. And he was baptized and he became a priest of Jesus and just took God. But Paul had a heavy veil on his heart. He heard the law and he was blind. He was blind and he didn't know what the gospel was. But he came face to face with the glory of God. He began to preach that gospel as good. So what is the point of the boldness that is born in us? It's the witnesses of the glory of Christ. Our veil is lifted in Christ's cross. We're not letting all this look like our land. Our veil is lifted to be sent hence here. Not as not God's word. His word, that's exactly what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, and we've been made new creations in Christ. The old is gone, and the new has come. Therefore, we're Christ's ambassadors. God has made his appeal through us. That's what Paul is saying. This is transformational ground. The veil is lifted, and now we, as Christians, are preaching the gospel to Christ. That's what we need to the veil of the church. We just have to hold their boldness. The Spirit bears the veil. Read that in verse 7. It says, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a Spirit. What the Jews were doing, essentially, was placing the burden so heavy on the backs of the Gentiles that they were being trapped. Exactly what Jesus said when he introduced the Pharisees, he says, you are far. more wise may one conquer, and doing so you may have twice as heaven comes before. That's exactly what Paul, and exactly what is happening in Galatians. Paul writes, you foolish Galatians, who is hypnotized you? Before whose eyes of Jesus Christ is visibly portrayed as Jesus Christ. I don't want to listen to you. Did you receive the superior by works of the law, by hearing the faith? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now going to be made complete by the flesh? Then the Corinthians will be imprisoned by a law that has fallen from them, a righteousness that needs to be perfected. It's exactly what's going on all over the place. You guys have heard, I believe, incurable religiosity of man. Religion of this sort has been the seedbed of the greatest evils in history. We have an escape today, not in the church, and not out of the church. There are many of us in the church who still live with the poison of works of righteousness coursing through our veins. We live with the idea that God loves us more when we're good boys and girls, and He loves us less when we're not. Like the two actors, we so often have created our own laws, which invariably are centered around our own priorities. It's funny how that works. When another is to whatever priority I might hold to, and that person is just that much more behind, but just that much less close to God. We all do it. If you're not at the church ministries that I'm a part of, you don't look like me, you don't act like me, you don't use the same words I do, you don't like the same worship songs I do, well then, and you're just sitting that much more. But you better change if you want to be close to God. How many of us do that? We come to a service, so what's those like here? They must do this so they have your idea. And this other person is out witnessing the church gospel, saying, no, it's true. They're a whole different church. We all do this. This is not the gospel. What moves the love of God and makes it into a foolish person is nothing I've done. It's nothing that we can do. It's what Christ has done on the cross. The work of Christ on the cross is what gives God any love for any of us at all. That is the foundation that He wants us to love, upon which we can rightly begin to live the full world. And outside of theism, there is no difference. There is the worst righteousness that I think can make history. They're not pursuing God, though. Their pursuit is much more noble. A brand new world, a utopia where they've done away with God, they've done away with religion. And the irony of all is that all the proclaimers teach you guys from beyond good and evil, but after they say so loud, it's a good thing that we are. Nietzsche tells a parable of a bad man looking for God. He says there was a bad man who put a lantern in the clay for 20 hours. He ran into the marketplace and cried incessantly, I'm looking for God. I'm looking for God. Where has God gone? He cried. I shall tell you. We have killed him. He would die. We are his murderers. How have we done this? How have we been able to drink of the sea? Who gave us the sponge to wipe away the entire horizon? What did we do when we unchained the earth from the sun? Where is it moving now? Where are we moving now? Away from all stars? Are we not perpetually falling backward, sideward, forward, in all directions? Is there any up and down left? Are we not straining us through into nothing? Do we not feel the breath of empty space? Has it not become colder? Has it not become darker? Must not mankind be lit and warmer? Must we not ourselves become God's symphonies to be worthy of it? Must we not ourselves become God's symphonies to be worthy of it? There you have it. In and out of the church, the veil remains. When it does, we all take it. As their own form of worst places. What do we say? It's my freedom. And if we see, that's the way. So we have to this building, this new building works, but I think we just sit in the chairs, but this is the law of God. That's how it works. And it's the same for people who don't even believe in God. It's their the good work they're doing before they have, as we have come as families. It's me. Oh. benefits will be made known to you, how we can affect the Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses to show his majesty, and we saw the majesty of God. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice was born in God who said to the Lord, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves have this very voice born from that which you were with him, I am going now. And listen to this, he said, we have better work more fully confirmed. To which you will be well and pay attention as for a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises. Don't first of all be caught in the scripture comes to the sun of home with your patience. You know, prophecy was being produced by the will of man. The man spoke from God as a spirit of our God. And you say, if I only heard the voice of God thundering from heaven, if I only saw the radiant light of the flesh of God before me, how did this? I would give all of my life to Christ. I would bear the image of God. What is fear? I saw his voice from heaven. We heard him thunder down. This is my son who will come up. And we saw the radiant glory from his transfiguration. And he says, the prophetic word is your glory from that. And you will dwell and pay attention. That is the truth. You will dwell and pay attention to it as the light shining in the dark place until you don't need light anymore because the sun is moving. And I'll say this, if you are not reading the word, if you're not meditating on the word daily, at the very least, you're choosing to not be made in the image of God. You're choosing not to be full of glory. Far be it from me to preach a kind of grace that has to go on to the extent. That's not what I've intended to do tonight, but I don't mean everything I've said. We cannot save ourselves, only Christ can save us. We rest in that grace, it's the grace of God, and that extends far beyond anything we could ever achieve. But I want you to listen to what I can say. The same keep bursting through the door of your life. And if the word of God is standing in arms like the very easy to possess it or not, if the problem with us is the problem with God, and he's not the one. That's calling what it is. And it's happening. If you're not reading the word of God, if you're interested in this, then I know what I'm going to do. Unless you have the line of the world, we God in Christ has much as I